you. Okay, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, we appreciate everyone taking out their pre-Chanukah busyness and spending it with me 3 nights before a big night, a big time filled with light, the Klal Yisrael, Mitz Hashem, it should truly be, even before Chanukah, the ultimate light, Or Chodesh Al Tziyon Toir, say Amen. Hashem should bring the new light. Bimei Matis Yohu Ben Yechanan. The Ezus Hashem, all of us are going to be saying many times over the holy words that Anshei Knesset HaGdola established for us. And it's important to understand the words before we say them. We're going to say them, let's go, how many times? 8 times 3, at least. No, we don't say Musaf, Al Nisim. Three?
And Benji.
We don't say Al Nisim and Musaf. We do say Al Nisim. I forget. We say Al Nisim and Musaf? We do say Al Nisim. We say Al Nisim and
Musaf? No,
no. Al Nisim we don't say. Not a Musaf. I forget every time. There we go. benching, but not in Al Mechia. So how many times is it? Okay, well at least 3 times 8. Which is?
24.
There you go. Okay, so 24 times. Survey set, drum roll. Answer is Musaf.
We do.
We do. There we go. We do say the Musaf. Okay. So we're going to say the Musaf 2 every day. So that's another 8 times. I'm not going to add that for you. Musaf every day plus 3 Tvilos. Shachris Min Chamarv and Musaf.
Musaf every day?
That too. We don't say Musaf every day. Okay. There we go. It's only Rosh Chodesh. You're right there. I'm just testing everyone, okay? this is all just a show. Okay. Did someone spike this? Okay. Ravta es rivam. Ravta es rivam. Okay. You fought their fight. Question. Why do we say you fought their fight? Seemingly, we should say you fought your fight. Because for heaven's sakes, it was a fight for Hashem and his Torah. Right, for heaven's sakes. It was for heaven's sakes. That was the fight. What did it have to do with Matis Yohan and his family? As far as they're concerned, they're not getting killed. Why is it Ravta es Rivam? You fought their fight. If I was allowed to say my favorite shmooze from Rav Miller, I would say it about this shmooze. It's definitely top 800 of my favorites. I have my house 800 tapes. That's only out of at least 3,000 that are out there or more. So Rav Miller says as follows. There's a Mishnah in Avos that says, Asei ritzoincha ki ritzoinoi. Make your will like his will. Now, what does that mean exactly? How do you make your will Hashem's will? So, the answer is, you learn what Hashem's will is, and then you try to assimilate, I think that's the word, his will into your will. For example, God loves the righteous. How do I know that? Because it says that in Psalms, and we said it this morning, if you said the whole Psukah de Zimra, you said, Hashem ohev tzadikim, Hashem loves the righteous. Now, let's say you are walking down the street in Eretz Yisrael and you see Reb Doiv Landel Zol Gesundsein, the Gadol Hadar, passing by you. Now you never met him before. Do you love him? Do you love him? I mean, do you love him? You never met him. You never even heard him say anything. You know of him. Maybe you heard of his name. So what we're supposed to do is, we're supposed to work on that, that even if you never met him, you're supposed to love him. Why are you supposed to love him? Because Hashem loves him. If Hashem loves him, asei ritzoncha ki ritzonai, make your will like his will. Whatever he loves, I love. Oyhev amo Yisrael. Oyhev amo Yisrael. Hashem loves the Jewish people. So when you pass a Jew in the street, love you, bro. Right? You do? Yeah. Why? Because Hashem loves you. One of my favorite stories of all time was a story that happened with Rabbi Avigdor Miller. Just have to say it because it comes to the head. Sometimes you just got to say it. Rabbi Lamb, Zolga Zinsa, Rabbi Lamb, is a famous speaker. Here comes a T4. I learn with him on Fridays. Anyway, so Rabbi Lamb once told me that he was in Rabbi Miller's lecture Thursday night, and he sent up a question, which you're allowed to do. At the end of the lecture, you send up question and answer. Well, he answers the questions. You send them up and he answers them on any subject. Questions on any subject. So he sent up a question and he said, what should I do if I hate a Jew? So Miller takes up the question. Now, thank God it did not say on it the name of the person who wrote it. What should I do if I hate a Jew? You should know that Hashem hates you. That's a Reb Miller answer. So Reb Lamb kind of felt a little uncomfortable in his chair. And I think that was the last time he ever had that question anymore. Hashem oyhev amo Yisrael. Hashem loves the Jewish people. If Hashem loves the Jewish people, we have to love the Jewish people. Oh, it's getting worse by the second. Sorry about that. Hashem loves the Jewish people. Therefore, we have to love the Jewish people. Now it gets a little more complex. Oyhave Hashem sinura. Those who love Hashem hate evil. Evil is not just something that's not so good. Hamas, they didn't do such a nice thing on October 7th. Not such a nice thing. You have to hate evil. You know why you have to hate evil? Because Hashem hates evil. And if you love Hashem, then you hate evil too. That's why Maseiros Yesharim says something very fascinating. Zealotry, or zealousness, let's call it kanos, is a branch of loving God. You wouldn't have necessarily thought of it that way. It actually is a branch of loving Hashem. Because when does one react with a zealousness, with a kanos, out of his love of Hashem? He hates the evil. It's not just, he said, oh, that's terrible. He hates it. Let's give an example of someone who loved Hashem. Matisyahu. Here was Matisyahu. As is brought in Michilas Antiochus, Matisyahu sees a Jew coming with a chazir, the pig, and bringing it up on the Mizbeach. And it says in the Megillah that a fierce anger burned in the heart of Matisyahu. And he ran over to him with a spear and he pierced the heart of the Jew and he screamed, Mila Hashem Elai! Who is to Hashem? Come with me. Now, why did he do that? because his heart burned with love of Hashem. It's like somebody who's watching another man slap his father across the face. Are you going to stand there and say, can you please not do that to my father? No. How dare you touch my father? So let me ask you a question. When Matisyahu was fighting the fight of Hanukkah, was he fighting for God? Or was he fighting his fight? God's fight became his. That's what happened. When you love Hashem so much, you're not just fighting for Hashem. You're fighting your fight. This is your fight. It's amazing. Hashem just put in my head another story. So I'm going to say it because it happens to be Hashkacha of Rav Shalom Shvadron's Yartzai. And Rav Shalom Shvadron used to always say this story because it happened with him. And it brings out this point in the glove. Famous story. Rav Shalom Shvadron saw a boy, Meirel, or Meirka, different versions how you say his name. Meirel was sitting on the floor. He hurt himself very badly. Little boy in the middle of the streets, I think of Shari Chesed in Yerushalayim. Rav Shalom Shvadron picks him up and he starts running with him to some form of urgent care. Doctor. A lady on the apartment a few floors up calls out and says, Rav Shalom, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. He's going to be okay. And all of a sudden she realizes it's her grandson. And she starts screaming, Now, until it was her grandson, it's going to be okay, don't worry. My grandson, she ran down the steps of the apartment building, runs after Shalom, what's going on? Mayor, what's going on? Because it's when it's yours, you don't just sit by idly and say it's going to be okay. It's yours. It wasn't Ravta es Rivacha. It was Ravta es Rivam. And you know what's amazing, says Rabbi Victor Miller? That is actually the answer to a Gemara's contradiction. The Gemara has a contradiction. On the one hand, it starts off the first psalm of Tehillim, starts off, Ki im b'tzoiras Hashem chavtzoi. That means, when you come in the Beis Medrash, you open up the Gemara, what am I learning now? Kedushin? You open the Gemara Kedushin, and you're learning, Ki im b'tzoiras Hashem, you're learning Toiras Hashem. And then the end of the pasuk says, U'v'tzoiras soi yege yamam v'layla. And in his Torah, you toil day and night. The Gemara asks, wait a second, is it God's Torah or is it your Torah? What is it? The Gemara says, when you open the Gemara, it's God's Torah. When you're about to quote, when you finish learning, the goal of learning is, it's supposed to become your Torah. It starts off as Torah Hashem, and then it becomes Torah Soi, his Torah. Rav To Es Rivam. And that's the meaning of Asei Ritzoincha Ki Ritzoinoi. Make your will Hashem's will. What Hashem loves, I love. What Hashem hates, I hate. At the end of the day, there's a very practical lesson besides for understanding the Tefillah of Chanukah. And pay attention, guys. It was worth taking off your time in preparation for Hanukkah to spend with me. Because the Torah says, Vatiru et shikutzehem. You saw the abominations. What does the word shikutzehem mean? Shikutzehem. They're disgusting things. If you ever see a creepy crawly, what is it called? Shkatzim. They use that term to describe certain individuals. Such a shkatz. He's mamash a shkatz. It's much stronger than bum. Shkatz. And it sounds like, right? Shkatz. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, in Shabbos, about this pasuk. It's talking about avodah zara. And it's calling avodah zara shkatzim ramashim. But tiru as she could say them, because their avodah zara is like shkatzim. Perhaps the Gemara is teaching us as follows. I think everybody here wonders the same question. Why did Hashem create a juke? Did you ever see a juke in Eretz Israel? A juke. You know what a juke is? A juke is a cockroach the size of my thumb. Now, I have pretty big fingers. I have piano fingers. So this is a thumb, and this is the size of a juke. It's from here till here. Around here. It's a cockroach this size. Yeah. Yeah, you can say that again. Okay? They have long antennas, and they never die. And like they die, but it's very hard to kill them. Now, just imagine for a moment. Now, I'm just going to give you some examples that I was privy to. I'm sorry. I apologize if you had supper already. I mean, if you had supper not so long ago. So, but I was sitting in a room, Simchas Torah in Adira, and a bachur was eating a cookie. And he started to scream, because there was a juke inside the cookie. That's right. Okay, and how about the guest? Sorry, I apologize. So there was the guest who came for Shabbos, and he was putting on his sleeve in my house. And he started to do a very interesting dance. And when he finally took off his jacket, after a couple of Shrei Chai V'Kayim, there was a long monster that came out of the jacket sleeve. And my wife once was pulling out what she thought was a hair from the drain. And a little monster came. I cannot describe the trauma. So these examples I'm giving you tonight are not just for the purpose of making you feel gross. It's making you understand that there's something in this world that God said about it, it's disgusting. So why did Hashem create creatures that He Himself calls disgusting? The Gemara says that Tiru as she could say him. You see, if I told you that Lashon Hara is disgusting, billboards are disgusting. Now, naturally, your body doesn't say that. Your body reacts to jukes that are disgusting. Vomit is disgusting. Mold is disgusting. But in order for a person to be able to appreciate that an Aveira is disgusting, and I'm not saying this is the reason why Hashem created it. I don't know the reason. But what we can learn from this Gemara is that we could visualize that when you say Lashon Hara, you come to sleep that night, you have 75 jukes on your pillow. Chas v'shalom. Just imagine that sight as you open the pillow, as you open the blanket. Yeah, it was the guy that told me that he lived in a basement alone, and every single night he would come in and there was a animal mice fest going on in the roof, in the ceiling of the basement. In the ceiling of his basement, there were about 20 mice that lived there. He would come back from a job. He was a musician. He'd come back from a job. And he described this to me. I couldn't imagine that a person actually lived like this. And he said that there was, yes, the expressions of the mice all over his bed. He would take his blanket, throw it off, all the mouse droppings, and he would say, okay, I'm too tired to even worry about this, and go to sleep. Okay, imagine a person live like that, okay? When Rabbi Akiva would walk down the block and see a cat that had been hit by a truck, there were no trucks in those days, so it was a chariot. If you see a cat in the middle of August that was hit by a truck, it's not a very pleasant sight. Rabbi Akiva would look at that and say, that's Arias. That's Zima. Hashem hates Zima. Now, I can't imagine the disgustingness of Zima on my own. Hashem created visualization for us to look at things in this world that are disgusting and to allow that to be our imagination of what an Aveira is, so that we can find an Aveira disgusting. When Rabbi Akiva was tested with Zima, with immorality, he said to himself, that's Shkatzim Uramashim. And that's how he overcame. Because his whole life he worked on it. He worked on assimilating Hashem's right and wrong, good and evil from the Torah into himself. So now I love good and I hate evil. The opposite is true, Rabbi said. This is the more positive side to things. And I apologize for sharing all those visualizations. The Yevanim, the Greeks, brought a darkness to the world. That's what they were trying to do. The evil of the Yevanim is compared to Choshech. Shehichshichu eseinehem shel Yisrael. They darkened the eyes of the Jewish people. It's amazing to note that good is always compared to light and bad is always compared to darkness. When you are up, let's say, early in the morning, before the crack of dawn, and it's dark, the darkest point of night is right before the morning. It's very dark. And it's a cold winter day. And all of a sudden, there are rays of light that are starting to warm up the world. And you feel at that moment a certain sense of joy. Rabbi Yisai, that joy of the light is a visualization for us of what goodness is. That's a symbolism of goodness. Goodness is a ray of light that brings warmth to the world. It's a parable of goodness. The goodness that we feel, that all of us feel, and even if you can't put your finger on it, when you see a child, a two-year-old, a baby, a five-year-old, has an innocent face. There's a purity there that you almost feel like you could touch, but you can't touch it. There's something there. There's a radiance of purity. When you see a tzaddik's face, and there's a light that's emanating. I have a friend that told me that for him to see our Rebbe, Rav Moshe Brown, Zolgo Zunstein, one of the biggest Torah scholars on earth today, he lives right here in Brockway. Moshe Brown, he's a man who knows every single Rashi and Shas, Baal Peh. And I would say Tosfos too. And a whole lot more. And he said to me once, he said, my biggest proof that Torah is from Shemayim is to see our Rebbe's face. There's a shine emanating from his forehead. You see a light that's coming off the face of a tzaddik. And you are privy to a visualization of what real truth and goodness is. These parables, Rabbi Isai, are to help us appreciate the light of Hanukkah. Because the light of Hanukkah is the light of goodness that fills the dark world. All of us, Be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach, are going to be Zeicha, Be'ezah Hashem, to light the menorah in just 3 days, 3 nights. It was actually an amazing story with the Choyza of Lublin. The Choyza of Lublin was once asked to daven that this certain Meiser, a Meiser is somebody that tattletales to the government, a Jewish person who was a Meiser, they brought his name to the Chayz of Lublin, and they said, please, daven that he should stop. Hashem should stop him from his terrible atrocities. So they brought the name to the Chayza. The Chayza was called the Chayza because he could see things beyond what's in front of you. He looked at the name of the Yid, the Meiser, this Meiser, and he said, this Yid, he's Meir Oirois L'Soich Olamim. This Yid is shining light into all the worlds. And they were like, the Meiser? He's like, yeah. Anyways, it was very strange. And they found out that the time that the Chayza was looking at his name was the moment that this Meiser, he kept Torah mitzvahs, he was in the middle of lighting menorahs Chanukah. And even though he was a person that was not exactly a role model, to say the least, he was doing terrible things in his life. But at the moment that he was lighting the menorah, he was bringing light. Because we have no idea the greatness of that moment of lighting the menorah. And at that moment, Rabbi Yisai, we have an opportunity to be inspired by Jews that gave up their lives for Hashem. Because to them, what Hashem wants is everything. Like we say in the Haftarah, U'bocharu ba'asher chofotzti, you should choose what I desire. When a person learns Torah, the Torah is supposed to become part of him. That everything that it says in the Torah is now part of his essence. And that's the job of our life. To absorb the truth and the light of Torah, so that the light begins to shine through us. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us all to be zeicha, to have a Chanukah filled with light, and Hashem should bring us the miracles that bring the ultimate Yeshua for us and all the clients and all the families, the whole Makam Shehem and Eretz Yisrael and all over the world. I thank you guys for taking off the time to spend with me. Greatest Chanukah to everyone.